Now casting. Ludlow Theatre Company require actors for their latest production of Hamlet by William Shakespeare. Auditions, Wednesday, 9:30.
Next!
Hello, I am Roland Davenport Davenport, and I've come to read for the part of Hamlet in your forthcoming production of the Bard's finest tragedy, To Be or Not to Be.
No, 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 Hamlet's gone.
Ah.
Yes, all the leads have gone.
Ah.
So have most of the bit parts.
Oh, dear. What's left? What do you need?
Yorick.
Yorick?
Yes, that's right, Yorick.
He's the skull, isn't he?
That's right, yes. Alas, poor Yorick, yes.
And you're looking for someone to play the skull?
No, 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 someone to be the skull.
Traditionally, he's played by a prop, isn't he?
Well, that is the more popular version, yes.
And deservedly popular, I think.
Mr. Davenport, Davenport, if you don't feel you're up to it, there's plenty
No. Right. I was merely pointing out, it seems a pity to tinker with a winning formula.
Well, that's what we're going to do, Mr. Davenport, Davenport.
Yes, of course, of course. So, Yorick it is. How would you have me play the scalp?
Well, nothing outrageous. It's a straight production, you see. Just bald, gaunt, and dead.
Ah. Has Polonius gone?
Yeah, he's gone, yeah.
Rosencrantz gone?
Yeah, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are both gone. That's
how about Francisco?
Gone.
The players?
All gone. So have the sailors.
No doubling?
No doubling, no.
The two clowns?
Yeah, gone weeks ago.
Prince of Norway?
Gone. They've all gone, as I said before. They've all gone.
I see.
They've all gone.
I see, all gone. Well, I wouldn't mind having a crack at Gertrude, Queen of Denmark.
Yeah, she's gone.
Pity, pity. Great pity. Just the skull left, then, eh?
Yeah, that's right, just Yorick.
What's the background on Yorick, then?
A man of infinite jest, of excellent fancy, who's now a skull.
And Yorick's all that's left?
That's right, yes, just him and the other two parts.
Two other parts?
Yes, just the three parts left.
What are they?
Lawyer's skull and unknown man's skull.
Still sort of scully parts, then,
yes,
eh?
Yes, that's right, yes, that's right, yes. The only parts that are open are the calcified crania, yes.
And I definitely have to be dead, do I?
Well, unless you're going to play the skull with legs.
I do so enjoy playing Shakespeare. All right, I'll take it.
Sorry, now hang on. Yorick's gone. There's a note on my desk here. Apparently he went this morning.
Oh, pity, pity. Great pity.
Just lawyer's skull or unknown man's skull left?
Well, it is Shakespeare. I'll take the lawyer's skull.
Great. Lawyer's skull, rehearsal's Monday. Get someone to bring you in a bag.
Fine.
Oh, hang on. If you prefer, the lead's still open in the new Ray Cooney farce.
Oh, well. No, I'll see you Monday.
Our bad luck is your good fortune. At the Mall now, our super fire damage sale. Everything must go. Everything half price. Amazing bargains, amazing buys. Come to the fire damage sale at Tipson's Pet Shop. Singed or fully charged pets at incredible prices. Crispy black bunnies, only 20p. Warm puppy cinders, 10p a bag. And hamsters still glowing at giveaway prices. Quick, dash to Tipson's fire sale. Buy now before they all go out. Welcome to the final of Superbrain. 2,000 men and women, all acknowledged as geniuses in their fields, have been reduced to a final three. Professor Joseph Isink, author of the book The Catastrophe Theory as a Model for Political Systems. Nobel Prize winner Dr. Anne Sticklewood, a research chemist in macrobiology. And Professor Robert Burgess, who wrote the paper The Existential Phenomenological Foundations for a Science of Persons. Thank you. And over there, to my right, the three finalists are standing in the soundproof glass cubicle, waiting for the computer to select the name of the first contestant. And the computer has indicated our first contestant is Professor Isink. His name is flashing in the cubicle now as he makes his way toward the door. And remember, the first prize tonight is a £50,000 research grant. Professor Isink, having a spot of trouble opening the door. In a minute, he'll be taking the Super Brain hot seat and hoping to win this rather magnificent Super Brain trophy. Still having a bit of trouble with that door. But it can't be long now before he notices the pull sign. And he'll soon be with us answering questions on Kant, Weber and polynomial expressions. Ah, the Nobel Prize winner, Dr. Sticklewood, is having a word in his ear. And I can see now Professor Burgess closely scrutinising the doorknob. Professor Isenk has started booting the glass while the conceptual psychologist throws his full weight against the door hinges. As Dr. Stiggerwood, the Nobel Prize-winning biochemist with an estimated IQ of 240, presses her face against the glass and screams to be released. And in so doing, get this super brain final underway. Still having no luck. And Jenny, my lovely assistant, is wiggling over to the cubicle. And she opens the door. And that means the winner of tonight's Super Brain Trophy is the former Miss Prestatin wet T-shirt, Jenny Lonsdale.
We of the Weird Dimension bring you a glimpse into another time-space continuum. The strange planet you shouldn't really land on.
This is Stellar Trader Dave Hollins calling Earthcom number K-57. My craft, Scion 4, is locked in a decaying orbit around a Class 2 planet. The main drives have gone and there is no power left in the Starhopper. I'm at a planet that has 2 suns and 7 moons. My AA number is Hull 71482. A bioscan prelim has indicated living matter on the planet's surface. It is intelligent, but basic. Just above vegetable, but just below teacher training student. I'm abandoning Scion and tubing down to the surface.
Zilge, the occupant of the craft is about to arrive in input 2.
What be he like?
Zilge, it's what is he like? Don't talk common in the radar room.
Sorry, old one. What is he like?
Several of his legs are missing, and there are many holes in his face. I must scurry and greet him. I bid thee solstice, traveler. You must have hunger and weariness. Come, I bid thee dine with me and my 7 husbands.
Husbands? You have 7 husbands?
You seem querulous. How many husbands do you have?
I don't have any husbands.
Oh, a nephron.
Is that how you reproduce here, with a husband?
7 husbands.
Oh.
8 of us must get together to perform an Negor to produce the children.
That's incredible. What's it like?
Oh, a lot of fun.
How many children do you produce at one of these Negors?
Oh, enough for 2 or 3 meals. Excuse me, I'm going to explode. I beg your pardon. It must have been something I strangled. Where be you from, traveler?
Me? I'm from Earth.
Earth?
Yep.
The planet Earth?
That's right.
Do you know a guy called Jan Vogels?
No.
Come on, he came from Earth. Jan Vogels.
No, I don't know him.
You must know him. Jan, short guy with red hair.
No, I told you, I don't know him.
He definitely came from your planet. You must have bumped into him.
No, I don't know him.
He came from Holland, on Earth, in the 8th century, Earth time.
No, it's the wrong period, and I've never been to Holland.
Jan Vogels. He had holes in his face. He put food in. And when we told him what it was, the food would come out again. Jan Vogels.
No, I don't know him.
Jan Vogels.
Oh, yeah, I know him. I know Jan. Yeah, Jan Vogels, that's right. Now, can we go to your city now? I need some fuel for my craft.
Of course. Oh, but what must you think of my manners? We haven't passed greetings. Come, we must decapitate each other and exchange heads for an hour. Funny, that's what happened to Jan Vogels.
Hey, Jack, can you spare a minute?
Yeah, hang on a minute. I'm busy, Hank. I'm on the phone.
I've just finished the new song, Jack. I think it's pretty good. I think it might be a big hit.
Okay, yeah. I'll hear it in a minute, Hank. I'm just trying to make a phone call here.
I think you should hear it now, Jack. I think it'll be the biggest hit you ever had.
Gee. Listen, I'll call you back, honey. Mm? Keep it warm. Yeah, me too, baby. I love me too. Mm. Hey! You hear that joke there, Hank? I love me too. You hear that joke? Some swell joke.
Yeah, good joke, Jack. Great joke. Yeah.
You know, I have 18 writers. 18 writers, Hank. 18 writers. Just to write me jokes I can use on the dames.
Yeah, I know, Jack. I know.
18 guys, Hank. 18 guys full time. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think you should hear my song, Jack.
Okay, Hank. Give me the music. Give me the words.
If you don't mind, Jack, could you read it over my shoulder? This is the only copy.
Yeah, sure. Take it from the top, Mr. Piano Player. For many years, I've tried to say that we don't get along. I never could say it to your face, so I put it in a song. Hey, nice intro, man. Nice intro. A piano player's all I am, while you're the household name. I write your hits, arrange them all, while you get the acclaim. Nice tune, man. You said you'd share success with me, but what you really meant was you'd grab the glory and all the girls, and I'd get 5%. These are good words.
Chorus coming up, Jack. Chorus coming up.
Oh, Jack, I stabbed you in the back. Just yesterday, I had your wife and daughter in the sack. Hey, this is a great song. I love this song. Those papers I asked you to sign, you signed unwittingly. Now I own your recording rights and all your property. Hey, you really feel for this guy. I sold your sordid story to a national magazine. I mentioned the drugs, the mafia, that sheep and Vaseline. Hey, great song, great song.
Chorus again, Jack, chorus again.
Oh, Jack, you won't be coming back. The coup de grace was cyanide in your mid-morning snack.
Hang on, Jack. It's coup de grace.
I know. One of my writers was French. Yeah, coup de grace. The coup de grace was cyanide in your mid-morning snack.
What do you think, Jack?
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that last chorus there, Hank.
Are you okay, Jack? You look a little wobbly on your feet.
Listen, I got an idea to change that last chorus. Play it. Oh, Hank, you've got yourself to thank. I swapped the cups round and it was the poisoned one you drank. I think that's better.
Oh, right, Jack.
What do you think?
See what you think of this, okay?
Okay.
For heaven's sake, we both made a big mistake. I may have drunk the poison tea, but you ate the chocolate cake.
Well, Hank, looks like it's the end of the road, old buddy. Still, look on the bright side. It's my funeral is going to get all the press coverage. You know something, Hank? I got 25 writers working on my obituary. 25 writers, impressed? Huh?
No.
Huh?
No.
Excuse me, can you help me?
No, I work for the post office.
It's just that I want to apply for a passport.
Well, I'm sorry, I work for the post office. We're not allowed to help people. I've probably told you too much already, love.
Well, surely somebody can help me.
Look, I tell you what, dear. Get behind the 12 people in that queue there and ask the man at the next counter, okay?
Will he be able to help me?
No, he works for the post office too.
Well, what's the point of that?
Well, it makes you extremely frustrated and wastes your time.
Fine. Thank you anyway.
Don't say thank you, so I might think I've helped you.
Johnson!
Yes, sir?
Did I hear that man say thank you?
Yes, sir. It was a mistake.
Yeah, we'll see it doesn't happen again. Oh, and Johnson, what time is it?
Sorry, I can't help you.
That's better.
Beneath the skyline of Cosmopolis, the sprawling city slumbers, unaware that high on the rooftops stalks a lone caped figure, His aims? To avenge injustice, to bring law under the lawless, and to leap from one rooftop to the next without tripping up and breaking his neck. His name? Stupid Man. Our story begins in Commissioner Grodin's office.
Any sign of him yet, Chief?
Nothing, Commissioner. I can't understand it. I sent out Stupid Man's call sign over 2 hours ago. There it is, emblazoned against the World Trade Center. THRQPN, THRQPN.
Maybe he's forgotten how to read again.
That's him now.
Is that you, Stupid Man?
Stupid Man, is that you?
No, Commissioner. It's me, Stupid Man.
Come in.
Well, it's not so easy, Commissioner. There seems to be what I can only describe as a wooden barrier preventing my entry into your office.
Yes, sir, Stupid Man, that's the door, remember? Huh? Clasp the handle and turn.
It's having little or no effect, Commissioner.
Open the damn door, Chief, or we'll be here all day.
So much for the so-called door riddle. Now, Commissioner, what's the problem?
It seems the gangster has broken into the municipal bank.
Mm-hmm. Have we any idea why?
To steal the money, of course.
Right, of course. To steal the money.
So, Stupid Man, go out and catch him.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting that
My God, he's forgotten how to talk again. Stupid Man, you have to sort of vibrate your throat and wiggle your tongue.
Thank you, Commissioner. Oh, that was pretty scary for a moment there. Right. Now, you're suggesting I should go out and catch him.
Yes.
Right away, Commissioner. I'll use the window, for it is the sworn duty of Stupid Man to right wrongs, avenge evil, and... That's it. Yeah, just the two things. Not three things, as some people thought. Just the two. Hey, so long, Commissioner.
So long, Stupid Man.
Up, up, and away!
Remember, kids, don't ever try to do what Stupid Man just did. Because you can't fly. Neither can he.
Hey! New stereo.
Yeah, right. It's a bit amazing, actually. Yes, great. Speakers are ARPT cabinets, man. 5,000 watts per channel, 800 quid each. Great.
God.
21-speed Tomica deck with laser auto cutout. Costs 1,100 quid, man. That's great.
God.
The amp's got a quartz touch tuner with automatic track selection, 15 channels, leather-sealed HT leads, and 14 dB blunder dyke and input exchange. 1,800 quid.
God.
It's groovy stuff. And last week I got a solar cell solid silver vacuum head cleaner and a mercury bearing hydraulic balance for the octophonic diamond studded arm. $2,000's worth.
Hey, what's it sound like?
Don't know. Can't afford any records.
On the leaderboard, it's Tom Watson. Still four clear of the field. Over to the ninth, and it's Tom with a birdie putt. 12 feet, lining up the ball. It's 12 feet. Ball's too big. Never gonna go in a hole that size. Meantime, on the approach to the fourth, here's Tony. Tony Jacklin, famous British golfer a few years back for a couple of months. Over to the tenth. And Bernhard Langer's played his second into a tree. He's up there. Four branches up. Not happy about something, huh? He wants the crowd pushed back. There they go. Three or four of them climbing down out of the tree. Here's Seve on the seventh. And in a bunker. Here he goes. Good shot. Great swing. Good follow through. Still in the bunker. Meantime, a big yell goes up on the 10th. Has Langer hole out from the tree? No. And here's Sivvy, still on the 7th, looking to drive the green. Long shot, long shot. Here it comes. Whoa, 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 whoa. That ball will not stop. It's gone through the green, through the gallery, through the clubhouse, through the barman's head. Well, the ball stopped. So is the barman. Meantime, let's go over to the 8th and have another laugh at Lee Trevino's pants. There they are. God, they're funny. And we're joined in the commentary box now by Sevi Ballesteros. Bad shot from Sevi.
Hello, my name is Fred Gorman. Have you ever noticed when company bosses appear on commercials advertising their own companies? They always talk very stilted and stupid sounding. Not only that, the inflection is always wrong. If you are a company boss and you are thinking of appearing on TV, then why not phone me at the Fred Gorman Voice Training School and present yourself properly. Remember, Fred Gorman's Voice Training School for training vocally.
You can handle it. Think you're tough enough. Think you've got the bottle? Then join the Detestables. Become a security guard today. Have you got what it takes to sit in a porter cabin all day reading the Daily Mirror? Can you handle night duty? Or aren't you up to playing the fruit machine and drinking endless cups of coffee in between a quick kip and watching some videos? And have you got those special qualities we look for? The guts to turn away people who've forgotten their ID cards, even when you know them. Even if you're married to them. If you've got the petulance and the tetchiness and you can do the star crossword, you can suck parliaments and balance a pencil behind your ear, there's a job waiting for you with the security guards. So pop along to your security guard recruitment centre and sign up if they'll let you through the door. Remember, we don't accept just anybody. You have to apply.
Saturday Serials presents...
The reasonably exciting adventures of Captain Invisible and his sidekick, the See-Through Kid. Episode 7, Attack of the Killer Automatic Transmission Specialists. We join Captain Invisible and the Kid planning their next incredible move in their secret lair.
Okay, See-Through Kid, here's the plan. We go... Kid? Kid, where are you?
I'm right here, Captain Invisible.
Ah, I thought you'd gone.
No, I'm standing here beside you.
Okay, here's the plan. How do you know you're standing beside me?
Because I'm right here with you in the laboratory.
But I'm in the computer room.
Oh, but you said come into the laboratory and we'll discuss the plan.
I said come to the computer room.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, what was the plan?
Okay, where are you now?
With you in the computer room.
But I've just come to the laboratory. Look, just stay where you are. Don't move.
Okay.
Okay, here's the plan. Right? Are you there?
I was nodding. Sorry.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Here's the plan.
Excuse me, don't stand so close. I can feel your breath on my nose. What have you been eating?
I thought you were sitting in the chair.
I am sitting in the chair.
Ah, well, that's not my breath.
Meanwhile, in the robber's hideout, Dr. Evil and his henchmen are sharing out their booty.
Say, boss, you said I could have 5%.
You buffoon, that is 5%.
But there's 10 here.
Say, look out! It's Captain Invisible!
And the See-Through Kid!
No, it's not. It's just the breeze blew open the door.
Oh, I thought it was Captain Invisible.
And the See-Through Kid!
No, it was just a breeze.
Boss.
What?
The breeze is punching me in the face.
So it is Captain Invisible after all.
Hey, maybe it's just someone who looks like him.
No, it is me, Captain Invisible, and my trusty sidekick, the See-Through Kid. Kid? Are you here? Kid? Sorry, it's just me, Captain Invisible, on his own.
No, I'm here, Cap.
With his trusty sidekick, the see-through kid.
Yeah, but I'm on their side. Take that, Captain Invisible. Take that, and that, and that, and that.
Take what?
Hey, aren't you standing by the table?
No.
Oh. Hey, on second thoughts, I'm back on your side, Captain.
Okay, let's round them up and take them in.
Okay, Dr. Evil. This way.
What way?
This way.
This way?
No, this way.
Over here?
No, over here.
And so another boring adventure closes. And we join Captain Invisible back in his secret lair.
Well, that just about wraps up another dull adventure.
There's just one thing, Captain Invisible.
What's that, see-through?
I was on this toilet first.
Oh, my God.
At last, here's your chance to join the Heritage Coffee Table Book Club.
Add that touch of beauty to your home with our leatherette hardback collection, each one lovingly embossed with gold flake, books that look and smell really posh.
And as a special introductory offer, we give you the chance to choose three books you don't want, and then give you another book you don't want absolutely free.
Then each month you need only take one book you don't want, and we'll send you three other books you don't want, together with a bill you don't want either.
Here is a selection of some of our wonderful titles.
Florentine Art Treasures.
Great Cheeses of Europe. A Pictorial History.
The Coca-Cola Story.
The Sid Vicious Keep Fit and Dance Book.
So, send off the coupon and join the Heritage Coffee Table Book Club. The book club for people who don't read books.
Bucketson, who's next?
It's a private patient, sir.
Come on, man, come on.
In a private ward?
Naturally. Who is it, man? Duckworth.
It's your wife, sir.
Duckworth, it is not my wife. While she's in this hospital, she is a patient. And she's in for what, Bucketson?
Because she's ill, sir.
Duckworth.
For observation, sir?
To a doctor, gentlemen, the human body is a machine. A machine it is his duty to repair. You can have no emotional feelings regarding a machine. Bucketson, what's going on in here? Well, man?
Don't know, sir.
What are the symptoms?
Raised body temperature, reddening of the skin, dilated pupilla.
And?
Creaking bed springs, sir.
Therefore?
She's got Guatemalan crop spray fever, sir.
Duckworth?
Has it got anything to do with the gentleman with her, sir?
It has indeed. A man and a woman together. Creaking bed springs. What is it, Bucketson?
They're not practicing for a trampolining competition, are they, sir?
Duckworth?
I think it's infidelity, sir.
Very good, excellent. Chronic infidelity. Cause, Bucketson?
Lack of vitamin C, sir.
Duckworth?
You, sir?
Me, yes. How?
Come on,
man.
Your inadequacy, sir.
More specific, Duckworth.
Your inadequacy to respond to her both as a human being and as a husband.
No, Duckworth, it's because she's a cow. Bucketson, what's the prognosis?
It's the sticking out thing on the end of an elephant, sir.
That's Bucketson, you idiot, that's the proboscis. Duckworth, what's the prognosis?
No cure, sir.
Yes, sadly not. All right, Bucketson, who's next?
She said it was me, sir.
Cut and blow dry, is it?
Yes. I would like it closely cropped on the skull region with a long plait over each ear.
What about your second head?
My second head, I wish to be completely shaven.
What about your third head?
My final head shall remain uncropped, save for a single blue streak, which shall bisect my occipital and parietal regions thus.
Do you want any conditioner?
No. No. Yes.
You've been here before, have you?
No.
I thought not. I thought I hadn't seen you before. What do you do, then, for a living?
I'm His Royal Magnificence, the Crown Prince Fedor. heir to the stellar regions of the Galactic Empire, hereditary duane of the powers of lightness, sworn to defend through time and space the golden orb of wisdom.
Ah. How'd you get into that lock, then?
I had to undergo the birth of fire, recapture the seventh golden link of Thrix's mystic chain, and slay the invisible demon, guardian of the Crystal Mountain.
Don't need O-levels, then.
O-levels? What be O-levels?
Oh, you need O-levels for this job. Three. I suppose that's why you never got into my game, then. No O-levels, you can kiss goodbye to a career in hairdressing.
Hairdressing? I was tutored by Tharog, the ancient Thane of Krygo, who took me to the seventh plane of wisdom and gave unto me knowledge of all things.
But not to O-level standard.
O-level standard?
Yeah, if he taught you to O-level standard, I mean, you'd have some O-levels, wouldn't you? You know, at least something to fall back on should the galactic ruling lot fall through. Chloe, could you get us a cup of coffee, please? Do you want a coffee?
No, for I am pledged to thirst until I have vanquished the dark power of Mogador and his hordes of evil faceless ones.
Tea?
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to Doncaster Hospital for this afternoon's operations. The first event of the meeting and the one that's attracting most interest is the 3-minute appendectomy. Here's Michael O'Hare.
Thank you, Peter. In lane one, it's Mr. Babington, chief surgeon and holder of the 15-second vasectomy title. Lane two, Mr. Jones Davis, who recently performed a 2.5-minute sex change operation on someone who just had one and was heavily sued. Lane three, Mr. Ludlow, rather temperamental. He's failed to complete his last 3 operations, and he's not very popular with the patients, 3 of them especially. Here's Peter.
Thank you, Michael. And the official raises the starting pistol. And they're off. And Ludlow off to a flyer. In goes the scalpel. A beautiful incision for Thrax's abdomen, giving yourself plenty of room to work it. And flop, out come the intestines. Over to you, Michael O'Hare.
And there's a problem there, Peter. They've all been called back. Yes, it's a false start. On come the track officials. Back go the intestines. A few stitches. And we're ready for the restart. Here's Peter.
Michael.
Peter.
Michael.
Peter.
And they're off again. And Babington gets the patient first. He makes 5 feet incision. Over to you, Michael.
Thank you, Peter. And it's Babington from Ludlow with trailing by a yard of intestines. Jones Davis, Peter!
And Ludlow holding something that's not an appendix and he's trying to force it back in. He's alone. And Michael!
And there's tubes and bloody blobby things all over the place hanging on the table and
slithering
across the marinated floor as they make their way to the final few seconds.
Michael!
Peter!
I love you! Michael!
Peter! And as they cross the line, Babington holds the appendix aloft and he's the winner by 2 lengths of intestines. Peter!
Well, that's all but... And the race is over, but next week in your life in their hands, we'll be covering the 2-minute circumcision relay. Till then, goodbye.
I'm standing in the home of Roger Isherwood. Roger is 32 years old. To outsiders, he appears perfectly normal. But he isn't. Far from it. He's a bit odd. Well, more than a bit. Actually, he's a bloody weirdo. For when Roger was only 7, doctors diagnosed a chromosomal defect. The medical term is slapsticosis. To the layman, Roger is clumsy.
Sorry.
Roger, could you explain exactly the nature of the disease?
Yes, it's a chemical imbalance, which means everything I do ends...
Oh my God. I got my legs.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
My God, that's hot.
I forgot I was holding the coffee pot.
It's all over my groin.
No, I... Get your pants down.
Mind the bookcase, mind the bookcase.
Oh, I'm sorry, are you all right?
I can't move.
Sorry. I'm awfully sorry.
I'm pinned. Help me. Help me, please. Please help me.
I'll get help.
My legs. I can't feel my legs.
What?
Why can't I feel my legs?
I'll get help, then.
Mind the recording equipment.
Pardon?
Oh, no. Oh. You just...
This is the clinic where, once a month, Roger goes for treatment.
Yes, I come here.
Don't come any closer.
Oh, sorry. How are your stumps?
Don't worry, they'll be fine. Just answer the question, and please don't come any closer.
Okay, I come here for training. I have to practice walking past banana skins, and I have to walk across the room carrying a piece of plate glass. Eventually, they hope... They'll be able to leave me in a room full of custard pies by myself.
Roger spends one night a month in a hospital for observation.
Morning, Mr. Isherwood. Sleep well last night? Any problems?
Yes, Doctor. I woke up at about 3 and, I did a whole comedy routine with the pulleys. And Mr. Benson, the patient next to me, shot out the window. He was hanging out the building. Then I tried to help him back in.
Yes, I heard about that.
Is he being buried or cremated?
Cremated. There's not enough of him to bury him.
Oh, sorry.
At weekends, Roger drives out to the country to find solitude.
Yes, well, I prefer to be alone. I feel I can't hurt anybody. My favourite spot's by that lake over there.
Over where?
Just over there.
Ah! My eye! Oh, my God, my eye!
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can't see. You've poked at my eye.
I think I can see. It's just down there.
No, never mind. Never mind the eye. Watch the road.
What? Ah! No, dear.
My arms are broken. Both of them, look how hideously twisted they are. And my eye, I can't see.
Are you all right?
I'm right! I'm right!
What?
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
My stitches are bursting, my stumps.
Oh, no, look. Look, I'll get help. Stay there.
Ah! My fingers.
It's all right. I'll phone an ambulance. I really am most terribly sorry.
Yeah, okay, right, fantastic. Okay, great stuff. This is liberal studies, okay? We're all mature people here, okay? I don't want you to think of me so much as a teacher, right? I'm just the same as you. I'm here to learn, too. I like to keep it loose. We're all mature. You're not kids anymore, right? So let's try and ease into a one-to-one adult dialogue, okay? Granger, that's not a school regulation pullover. Get out. I mean, come on, you know I'm trying to treat you like mature, responsible people, and Granger takes advantage by wearing the wrong shade of gray. I mean, come on, we've been through the whole rap about the necessity for wearing a school uniform, right? We had a whole community discussion about this, and you took a vote, right? I disagreed. That's why you wear it. You can still be individuals. You can still express yourselves. Craig, get out. Go on, get outside. And don't come back till you've got a school regulation-sized nose. Look, in this class, I'm not interested in producing qualified sausages. I'm interested in churning out individuals. Do you understand? Young, get out. I've warned you before about being Chinese. I'm trying to teach you about individuality and tolerance so you can wipe that yellow smirk off your face.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, fantastic. Great. Mr. Donaldson, yeah?
Yeah, you got a problem?
Yeah, I got a problem.
Do you want to get into a dialogue about it, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, get into a dialogue. Incredible thing. You know how you take individual studies and I take liberal right. studies, okay? Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm with you, right.
Well, I got a bit mixed up, you know, yeah? And I thought I was you.
Hey.
And I've been taking your class.
Hey, God. That means I'm not you.
No, yeah.
I must be me.
Yeah.
And I've been taking your individual studies class.
Amazing, yeah, right?
Right, yeah, amazing.
Still, it's easy done.
Over, it's time to go. The bar is closing, just you and me, Joe, and my piano. Let's have one last drink, one for the road. One last drink for old time's sake, one for the road.
Come on up, please. Hey, you. Up here, you. Come on up. Please.
I've got a story.
Hey, stop singing now.
I want to tell about a man lost his love and his dreams as well. His world got broke up.
Hey, look, I'm trying to get home. Somebody's got home, you know, be fair.
The day she left.
No, I'll finish it. I'll leave it, make your mind. Now, come on,
so now there's nothing. There's nothing left. Evening shoppers, time to go to Barry's clubs and to show me Joe my piano. Let's have one last drink, one more for the road, one more last drink for old time's sake. One for the road, one more drink 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 for the road.
Right, now set your piano and clear off with you.
Thank you for buying my album, Keep Fit, Dance, Have a Cardiac Arrest, and Drop Dead. So if you're a little out of shape and want to become a dead person, this is the aerobics program for you. Let's go. Okay, first exercise. This is especially for people 50 years plus who are disgustingly out of condition. Yuck. So, nice, easy starting position. Right leg wrapped around your neck, head tucked under your elbow, and your left foot in your mouth. Let's go. Stretch your arm, 2, 3. Stretch your leg, 2, 3. Is it hurting? 3, 4. It should be hurting, 3, 4. So stretch that arm, 2, 3. Stretch that leg, 2, 3. And now your arm is going numb. Your arm is numb. Your face is gray. Your face is gray. Your tongue is blue. So bulge those eyes. Bulge those eyes. And clutch that chest. Say after me. Say after me. Dribble up and down your chin, so bulge those eyes. Now crawl to the phone, call to the phone, call to the phone, and call a duck dial 999. Come on, keep those eyes bulged, keep that saliva swinging. I want to see blood coming out of your nose. Now drop the phone and fall to the floor, and writhe in pain, and gurgle a bit, and die. Good one, people. You're all dead. Okay, so listen. Why not get your grieving relatives to buy my latest album? Dance and stretch for stiffies. Because no matter how dead you are, it's real important to keep your corpse in shape. Check it out. Get on down. 2, 3.
Cool, fab, pop pickers, and welcome to another freaky edition of Soviet Top of the Pops.
Hey, freaky is the word, Comrade Imbansky.
Wow, we're having a really wild and far-out time here.
Get down.
We are letting our hair dangle over our ears. Isn't that right, groovy comrades in the studio.
Groovy, Bob, groovy.
Hey, whoa, there is just no controlling them. Hey, let's take a quick look at them there charts, comrade chief inspector.
Okay, here we go.
Hey,
and straight in at number 10. Moving up the charts faster than a Ford Anglia. It's Do You Love Me by that crazy man of pop who's on the fringe of madness, Brian Poole and his tremolo friends.
Green and dodgy.
Yes.
Hey.
Zooming in at number 7, those two anarchists of Western culture, Esther and Abby Ofarin, with their decadent rock and roll record, Cinderella Rockefeller.
Hey, don't stand so close, comrade Imbansky. You may stand on my flared trousers.
Flared trousers?
Yeah.
Where did you get them from, comrade Petronovich?
Hey, I got them from a groovy boutique here in Omsk called C&A. Crazy and anarchic beast man.
Yeah. They really freak my mind out.
Yeah, it's really hippie to wear them, especially with the penny round collars. Hey.
Tell me, comrade, are they unisex?
Oh, yes.
Wow, I bet even Simon D. himself doesn't wear such groovy trousers. At least, not with an anorak anyway.
Hey, but you haven't heard the best yet, comrade chief inspector.
But
already I am on the waiting list for a psychedelic kipper tie.
Who, what? Hey.
3 more years and I will be the grooviest, coolest, freakiest cat in Omsk.
Hey, never mind Omsk. Wind up that gramophone, Borodin. We're about to play you the number 6 in the groove charts.
Hey, let us get the psychedelic light show going, comrade.
Yep.
Hey, Sonia, start changing the colored bulbs and keep passing your hand in front of one of them to create the really cool, good strobe effect.
Hey, too much. Okay, comrades, get your twisting shoes on, because at number 6, it's the queen of punk herself.
Sally.
Hey, get down with it,
Boogie. Stop it, Boogie.